We've been looking at a biblical picture of God, and now the second week really looking at the natural attributes of God, and so some good material from the Word of God here describing to us who our God is. It is important for us to have a right view of God, a biblical view of God. It's not my ideas. It's not your ideas, but we need to have what God has said. Thus saith the Lord, and how God has revealed who he is in his holy word. We're going to turn to the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm 90, if you would, please. Psalm 90. Moses was used of God to pen these words by the Holy Spirit. This is a prayer that Moses prayed. We're going to just read one verse, beginning with verse number 2. Psalm 90 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. If you can in your mind picture a timeline, a continuum, and God is saying here through the penman, Moses, by the Holy Spirit, he is saying that in eternity past, there's God. And in eternity future, there's God. If you could go as far back as you could go, forever and ever and ever and ever, and there's God. God. And then we go forward into the future unknown, but one thing is known. There's God. The true God. The eternal God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and seek God to work. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the simple revelation you've given us about yourself in your word. I pray that you'd open our eyes to understand these truths. And I pray that you'd help us to recognize that you are not weak and insufficient and just this crutch or something like this for us. But Lord, you are the Creator, the true and living God. You are eternal. You have always existed and you will always be. Lord, I'm thankful that for those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We are headed to eternity with you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for this. I thank you for the work you're doing in our lives and through our lives, making us more like Christ. Help us, Lord, to be all that you want us to be. Help us to walk faithfully with you one step at a time, today and tomorrow and other days, if you should give us breath. Lord, we're thankful for this. Bless our time now. And Father, I do pray for the families of this church, of this ministry. Father, I pray you continue to strengthen each of our homes. And those we're missing this morning, that you would continue to encourage and strengthen in each of their lives. Father, we pray for those who tune in online and watch. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage with your word and by your spirit each one, even today, through the word. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so, a biblical picture of God. We have a lot that is revealed to us in Scripture about God. And very important that we have the right understanding. So we got a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to just dive right in. And first of all, we have seen that one of the attributes of God is that he is eternal. He is eternal. God is eternal. It says, before the mountains were brought forth. Think of that. I mean, before any of this earth was ever created, there's God, the eternal God. And so God is eternal. God has no beginning. He has no end. He has always existed. In Daniel chapter 7, three times, he's called the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. Oh, my friend, there will be a day when this building will no longer stand. Oh, my friend, there will be a day when those beautiful trees you can see out there will not be here. Oh, my friend, there will be a day when these nice paved highways will not exist. There will be a day when the very dirt our feet are standing on will not be here. There will be a day when all these things will be destroyed. Not from man-made global warming, but it very well will be from God-made global warming after the millennial reign of Christ, right, brother? And so, you know, but there will never be a day when God will not be. There will never be a day when God is not. For he is eternal, eternal in the past and eternal in the future. And for those of us who've trusted Jesus, friends, we will be with him eternally. We have been given, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, we have been given eternal life. Yes, I have a start in my life when I came into existence, when I was created. But my friend, going forward into eternity future, I will be with Jesus. Not because I'm so good, but because he's such a great Savior. And he saves everyone who comes to him. We have a great God. He's an eternal God. He's the self-existent one. He needs nothing. Boy, the shipping, the lines are interrupted these days, and many shelves are bare on certain products you find today. But you know what? My God doesn't need anything outside of himself. He is self-sufficient, and yet he has chosen to create you and to love you, and he desires you to be with him. What a wonderful thing this is. The great I am God, Jehovah, the self-existent one, the Ancient of Days. Consider Psalm 93. I have all these scriptures on the slides this morning, or most of them, I should say, because for time's sake, I had a number of verses to go to, and so I made those available for your be able to see them. Psalm 93, verse 2 says, "Thy throne is established of old." Look at what it says. "Thou art from everlasting." This is talking about our God. "Thy throne established of old, thou art from everlasting." Oh, we're coming up not too far away from Christmas. And look at that, Micah 5, verse 2. Have you ever looked at that and realized that God is everlasting? Look at verse 2 there. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." It's talking about Jesus, the coming Messiah. Amen. "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus certainly is the eternal God. The eternal God, specifically there, of course, the focus on Jesus, but the Trinity of God has always existed. He's always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is eternal. Well, let's look at another one, another attribute of God. God is immutable. Immutable, that means he will never mutate into something else. Consider Malachi 3, verse 6. "For I am the Lord," and of course the capital L-O-R-D is Jehovah. Jehovah. "I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." In other words, God says, "I'm merciful. I'm consistently merciful. And I am patient with you. And I keep my word to my people. Therefore, you're not consumed." consider Psalm 102. Psalm 102, beginning with verse 25, talking about the immutability of God. He changes not. Verse 25, of old, hast thou laid the foundation of the earth? Consider that. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish. We just talked about that. But thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. God changes not. He changes not. He's immutable. Imagine a president that would be honest and keep his word. Imagine a president that would do good and what is right. Imagine if his term went on for 20 years. 100 years. Imagine a president of the United States like that. I mean, imagine if George Washington, now George Washington obviously had, he's a sinner just like you and I, but he was a good and honest man and a faithful president, the first president of these United States. And George Washington, imagine if he was still president 245 years later. I'll tell you what, God has been God for 245 years and counting, for 1,000 years, for millennia. Of course, the earth, I believe, is only 6,000 some years old, as the Bible teaches. But God has been God forever and ever and ever. And he changes not. He is consistent. He is still holy. He is still faithful. He's still a God who keeps his word. Yes, our God is immutable. Immutable. He has been forever God, and he is the same faithful, righteous Lord God. Consider James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is, look at that, no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have a good God who is faithful. He changes not. God is immutable. Let's look at another attribute of God. We've seen how God is eternal. We've seen how God is immutable. And now let's notice how God is omniscient. He is omniscient. It means he knows everything. He knows everything. Look at Romans 11, verse 33. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In other words, you could research the ways of the Lord forever. You could try to research the knowledge of God forever, and you could spend 100 years of your life researching and studying and digging, and you would not even come close to the knowledge of God. He is omniscient. He is God alone. He knows everything. Everything. What does the scripture say? Consider the psalmist in Psalm 139. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. You know what? God knew when you laid your head last night. God saw you, of course, through the night. God saw you when you got up this morning. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Did you know that God knows everything about you? He knows your deepest struggles, your deepest needs. God does. He knows about you. The good, the bad, the ugly. Oh yeah. And still he loves you. That's what gets me. Still he cares. Still he works. Oh yes. Verse 4 there, notice that. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Amen. What a God. What a God we have. Consider Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You can't exhaust the understanding of God. He is transcendent above all. He knows everything. Everything about us. You know, he knows insignificant details. Consider what Jesus said here in Luke 12. What Jesus said here. He said that, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? I mean, that's just pittance, right? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Amazing. But even the very hairs of your head. That's, for some of us, that's easier to count than others. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Even the insignificant details, God knows about you. He really does. He is omniscient. Consider Isaiah 40. We can't even modern man, in our technologically advanced day, we cannot even count the stars. We can't even count all the stars. And we have to estimate, right? Try to do an educated guess. And Isaiah 40 says this about God. It says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, and calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know what? God not only counts the stars, and of course he created the stars, but he knows them all by name. God knows your name. He knows everything about you, but God even knows the names of the stars. He gave them the names. He created them. Consider Psalm 147. Psalm 147 here, verses 4 and 5. It says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. There is no end to the knowledge of God. He knows everything. Our God can declare the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. I'll look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, beginning midway through verse 9. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God is omniscient. Before God created the world, created this planet, and put man on it, God already knew that man, given the free will that he was given, would sin. God knew that. Consider the words of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1, it says in verse 18, for as much as ye know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. We were not just saved out of our sinful life by a big expensive gold and silver price, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, and here's the key verse, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. What is that telling us? This project to create the earth, the world, the universe, to put man on it and give man a real free will, to give man the ability to make real choices for himself, to either love his creator and obey his creator or go his own way, real free choices. God says, I know man will sin. And it's plan A to already send the Savior. You see, God desired that people would have the real opportunity to love God, to in a real situation, to choose God. And when you choose to trust Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, you are making a real choice to come to God, to come back to God. And to have there's genuine love there. And of course, God's love bestowed first upon us. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. This was plan A. Not that God chose that man would sin, but God gave man a real free will. He is omniscient. Omniscient. He knows everything. Nothing can be hid from God. I want you to know another aspect about God, that he is omnipotent. His omnipotence. Consider Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Oh, Lord God, that would be Lord God, Lord would be Master, capital G-O-D, would be Jehovah, the underlying name Jehovah. Ah, Master Jehovah, ah, Sovereign, Self-Existent One, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for God. He is all-powerful. Amen. You know, sometimes as we muddle in our life, as we struggle through, sometimes we forget who God is. You know what? He cares about you. You can look to Him. I think if we have a right view of God, we're gonna pray more. We're gonna trust Him more. Oh, he is all powerful. Look at Revelation 19 and verse 6. The Bible says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." This is a future. This is prophecy. This is something yet to come, recorded here in the scripture. This has not yet happened, but it will. Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know, when there was a rich man or Jesus was talking about rich people and how hard it was for them to get saved. They trust in the things of this world so easily, right? Hard for them to release that and depend on God. And you know what? Jesus said that it is impossible, right? Maybe the disciples said it is impossible, you know, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus said, yeah, with men it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. This is Mark 10 and verse 27. Consider also Ephesians 3 and verse 2. Now look unto him, it says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God, your God, my God, the true God, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even think. I mean, his power transcends your imaginations. He is all-powerful. Omnipotent God. And so we've seen so many things. He's eternal. He's immutable. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He can do anything that he desires to do. And also we want to notice that his presence is everywhere. He is able to be everywhere at the same time. Omnipresence. And consider the scripture from Jeremiah 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? You know, you can't put God in a box. You can't confine him to a building. You can't say, well, he can't get there, it's too far. Or, you know, he was busy with other things. I mean, imagine how many people were praying to him this morning. Imagine how many ears God can listen to at the same time. Imagine how it is that he can dwell in every one of his children, in their very being. The Spirit of God indwelling his children. And he says, I'm never leaving. It's not like he just comes for a visit like a circuit-riding preacher or something. He's with us. Imagine how many congregations have met this weekend to lift up the name of the Lord and to worship God. And God said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I mean, God is with us here. So we come in the name of Jesus. My God can be everywhere. You see, it blows our mind. These concepts just don't compute in the human frail mind. But this is what the Scripture says. Consider Psalm 139. Psalm 139, noticing verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, I remember a guy who tried to run from God. There's been more than one, but I remember Jonah, right? Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I don't like those people. I disdain them and what they've done to the Israelites in past. And you know what? Jonah said, I'm going a different way. And he paid a ticket and got on a ship to go the opposite direction. And, well, God found him. God didn't have to go looking. God knew right where he was. And you can't run from God. And Jonah learned a whale of a lesson in obedience. But you know what? The psalmist says here, whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. You know, you go into the heights of space, there's God. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Wow. God doesn't need night vision. He can see even in the darkest cave. He can see right into your life. Our God is a great God. And you know what? Another aspect that I would point out on this a matter of God's omniscience, his presence everywhere, not omniscience, his omnipresence, is that one day God says he will withdraw his presence from hell, from the lake of fire. That's a sobering thought. In 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, it says, who shall be punished, speaking of the lost who reject the gospel, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Oh, friend, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ever banished from the presence of the true and living, life-giving God Almighty, God Most Holy, God of love. Oh, the bliss of the believer who knows God. And oh, the need to rescue lost souls. One last point of an attribute of God that I'll share with you this morning is how God is infinite. Infinite. Now, we talked about how God is eternal. But I emphasize in this point that all of God's attributes are without limitation, except where God limits himself. All of his attributes are without limitation. In other words, you know, the Bible tells us in a couple different places that the Lord will forgive our sin and remember our sin no more. Psalm 103. Remember our sin no more. Oh, God is going to say, you know what? That information, I'm going to remember it no more. Even in his omniscience, he will choose to limit and to put that away. Oh, his attributes are without limit unless God limits them himself. And consider this. A few verses here. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 18. His presence is subject to no limit. Look at what the scripture says. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house, this temple that which I have built, Solomon says. And so we consider that. His presence knows no limits, except where he limits himself. His abilities know no limits. Look at this. In Daniel chapter 4. Verse 35, it says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, he does according to his will in heaven and in earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God, what are you doing? God, you can't do that. No one can stay his hand. No one can stop his hand. No one can say, I'm going to stop God from doing that. God can do anything. Even the devil can't stop God. His understanding is subject to no limits. Look at that next one. Psalm 145. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now let's look at a definition of what it means to be infinite. What is that? Notice here in Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, infinite means extending indefinitely, immeasurable, inconceivably extensive, inexhaustible, subject to no limitation or external determination. God is infinite. He's subject to no external limits. Amen. Consider the words of Job in Job 42. Job 42. It says here in verse 2, I know that thou canst do everything. Thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. God can do all things, everything he chooses to do. Our God is great. We need a biblical picture of God. We need to understand. I know it gave a lot of scripture. A lot of scripture. And I want you to understand here that God's attributes, both his moral attributes like love and mercy and his grace, there is limitation where God limits it. For example, his love and his justice and his holiness and all these things blend together to wherein, yes, God loves the sinner, but yes, the sinner who rejects him, who does not receive the provision of Jesus, will be damned, will be judged. God's justice will come. You know, we could ask the question, why is there so much evil in the world? You know, why would a shooter get up and be able to massacre 17 people? Why would God allow that? Could he have stopped it? Absolutely, he could have. But God has given mankind a real free will. He has limited himself, not that he couldn't intervene, but he chose not to. He has set the world in motion. And I'll tell you what, my God is so great, he doesn't have to play both sides of the chessboard. He doesn't have to sit on this side of the chessboard of God and do the moves here and then say, I'm going to do the moves here too. You can't. No, he says, you go do your moves. Now, obviously, there's limitations he puts on us. I couldn't choose what family I was born into. I couldn't choose my gender. Hello. But you know what? God chose those things for me. But you know what? I need to accept the things God has chosen for me. But you know that when there's sin in my heart, I don't say, hey, God did that. No, God didn't do that. I did that. I followed my corrupt heart. And God calls sinners to himself to come out of their sin and to be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is big enough to give man the ability to play his little chess pieces. And God says, I will work all things together for good. What a God. I got just a couple more scriptures in closing. Couple more scriptures. I know I've had a lot of scripture here, but 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6. The Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So here's God's desire, right? To have all men to be saved. That's God's desire, but he's not going to run over your free will. He says, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, for there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so the provision is there. God's desire is that all people would be saved. But here's an example where he limits himself, where he says, all will be saved who trust Jesus. All who will be saved who come unto God in faith. Every one of them. If they get on the provision, if they come unto the Lord, if they repent and turn to Christ, he will take them all the way. And so God works. I think of the real answers to prayer that we can see because God limits himself. The real answers to prayer, real responsiveness to prayer. Look at Matthew 7, verse 11. It says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that together ask him. Ask him. You see, prayer is not just a silly exercise. God has actually structured it that he really, really responds to prayer. He responds to faith. When a person seeks him, when you pray for your neighbor to get saved, you know what? It steps up the work in that man's life, in that woman's life, in that child's heart. It does. It really does. It's like saying to the, I don't know if I use this illustration. It's like saying to the dogs, the good dogs, of course, sick them, and God begins to work. I should probably use the example of the Spirit of God rather than dogs, but you know what? You're summoning the power of God to do a work. As you seek God, he answers prayer. He really does respond to prayer. You say, oh no, it's just going to all happen the way it's going to happen. No. No, God actually responds to prayer. In other words, there are things God would prefer to do that he won't do if you don't pray for it. Very interesting. And so we come to the end of our time this morning. How is it with you? How is it with you? Do you know God as your Savior? I don't want to assume that, just because you're in church, just because you sing the songs, that you know Christ as your Savior. Have you trusted Christ? If you're joining us online this morning, I would encourage you to text the word salvation to the number there on your screen. We'd love to send you more information on how you can be saved. If that's your need, you contact us. We want to be a help to you. We want you to know the true and living God.